about Jesus at the tomb of Lazarus. I was thinking, is he not trying to take and go another direction with that? What you said, Brother Matt, was just dead on, but I thought about what you said about the stench of the tomb. I just want to encourage you this morning that you may feel like your life really stinks. We do that sometimes, don't we? We just feel like, could my life get any more raunchy than what it is? But understand something, that my Lord, my Savior, my God does some of his best work with stink. You see, Lazarus was rotting in the tomb. His flesh was stinking. And yet the Lord said, you know what? I've been working through stench since the Garden of Eden. And I'm used to this. We had an incredible service Wednesday night. God spoke in our leadership meeting. Brother Useman preached in here. In our leadership meeting, God spoke to us about unity, about the need for unity. I found out over the few years I've been pastoring that when God speaks about something and says, I want to take you here, I want to take you there, I want to do miracles, I want to do signs, I want to do wonders among you. But that's not happening at the level that we feel that it should be happening. Then what is there that's holding us back? And God spoke to us about unity, about the necessity of unity. And then our prayer meeting on Friday night, we had a tongues interpretation. We had PI on Friday night. I'm one of the instructors, so I was teaching in a class. And God spoke and talked about having aught against your brother, about the inability to ask for forgiveness or seek forgiveness from your brother. Now, I'm not trying to get, this is not negative, okay? We can look at this and says, wow, you know, we just had this great worship service, and boy, did Pastor throw a wet blanket on it. Listen, what God's trying to do is he's trying to perfect us. Do you understand that? These moments like this are moments that God is trying to get into our heart and get into our mind. And he's trying to take things that we have allowed to build up in us. Did you know it's a whole lot easier to worship the Lord than it is to repent? Did you know that? There's a whole lot less pain when we can come down here and worship than it is when we have to come down here and we have to repent. Because our flesh doesn't like to submit in repentance. Now, I'm all for worship, but never underestimate the power of repentance. I'm reminded of Jonah in the Old Testament, Nineveh. City of approximately 120,000 people. God sent a prophet there that would rather see it destroyed than see it saved. But he said, he just preached a simple message. If you don't repent in 40 days, God's going to destroy you. And that's what he did. 40 days, you're going to be destroyed. And instead of Nineveh, the king of Nineveh, rising up with pride and arrogance, he sunk in humility and repentance. I was thinking about all of these things together. And we have to look at how God speaks to us. God doesn't just randomly throw things out. There's patterns. And if one follows the patterns, one can follow the direction or follow what God is seeking from his church. And listening to all the preaching that has taken place from the beginning of the year, going through our series that Brother Caskey preached to us so well. I'm used to him being right over here. There he is. He's still over there. He's just hiding behind the Simpsons there. Simpsons. Now you know what I think about you, Brother Jerry. Are you Homer? Wow. We can go from crying and worshiping to bloopers and blunders all within the Simpsons. Oh, my word. I'm sorry, Marge. Oh, boy. We got to get back on track here. Behind the Simmons. There we go. There we go. Lord, help us. So we can go from that, what Brother Caskey, Elder Caskey was preaching. He talked about the gifts of ministry, Ephesians 4, 1 through 16. And he talked about the gifts to the church. They're for the perfecting of the saints. They're not for perfect saints. They're for perfecting of the saints. And we've seen God do some great works among us in gifts of the Spirit. It talks about faith and clarity and the balance and the flow of the gifts and how these gifts should operate. And I began to think about all of this, and I began to think about Wednesday night's leadership meeting and then Friday night prayer meeting. God is saying, I desire to do all of these things. I desire miracles, signs, and wonders among you, which God has spoken. We can confirm that even this morning. And then God speaks to us in a somewhat of a corrective tone on Wednesday night to the leaders about unity. And then he speaks to us as a body on Friday night about having aught against your brother and seeking forgiveness for your brother. And then we read about, or we take into account, the gifts of the Spirit and all of the things that have been preached about what God is desiring to do through us and in us. And it leads me to believe that God is saying, Calvary Gospel Church, I want to do all of these things, and I desire to do all of these things. But like Revelation, as he spoke to the church as a revelation, but I have somewhat ought against you. Or you got a little bit of an issue that you need to deal with. Now, I'm prepared this morning and to preach on vipers, venom, and fire. And I'm just going to dabble a little bit, and we'll catch up with this a little bit later. Is that all right? You see, Paul found himself on a ship. And he was on his way, or near an island of Malta. And he was on this shipwreck. And, well, let's just read Acts 28, 1 through 6. Now, I'm not reading from the King James. And when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Malta, and the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us every one because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on the hand, they said unto themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live. And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly, but after they had looked a great while, they saw no harm had come to him. They changed their minds and said that he was a god. We have to understand something about vipers. Vipers are unlike just any plain old snake. We often refer to the enemy, Satan. We have to understand that Satan is a spiritual being, church. Okay? He's not this little dressed up red suit, forked tail, carrying a pitchfork, little horns on his head. That's not the devil. The devil is a mighty warring angel that was one of the top angels in heaven that fell because of pride and arrogance. And he's not to be dabbled with. Okay? Doesn't mean that we don't have power and authority over him. But I think so many times we misunderstand or we underestimate what the enemy can actually do. See, we can have a powerful service like this and leave this service. Before we leave the parking lot, we're gossiping about a brother or a sister in the car. You know, they laid hands on me, and boy, I sure wish they'd used a breath mint. Did their breath ever smell? I remember the story a bishop told about old Ralph Ulrich that prayed him through to the Holy Ghost. Bishop used to hate to have him pray with him because his breath was always bad, but it's amazing when God used him to pray my father through the Holy Ghost that bad breath just didn't seem so bad anymore. You see, sometimes it's just our attitude. Our attitude. So here we have Paul. He's here on this island, and he's bitten by this viper that comes out of the fire. And this venom is injected into his hand, and everybody that is observing this is looking at him, and they're thinking he must be a murderer. And he's getting his due vengeance. He escaped the rage of the ocean, but now vengeance is being served. And when he doesn't fall over dead, he becomes a god. People can be really fickle at times. Churches can be really fickle at times. One time as a leader, you can stand up and you're everybody's hero. And then a few days later or a few weeks later, there's a message that goes forth and it doesn't sit well with you and you don't like the content of the message. And now all of a sudden, you go from a hero to a zero. And we have to be careful. Now we could look at different venoms. There's all different types of venomous snakes all across the world. And these venomous snakes, they take and they inject, when they bite you, they inject into you a toxin. And that toxin, when we look at the venom, venom is it's a immobilizing chemical that the snake produces that causes you to become immobilized when the snake or the viper bites into you. And almost all venoms are composed of proteins. And I'm not just giving you a lecture this morning on snake venom, but this ties in very significant when it comes to the spiritual reality of things. There's two different types of toxins. There's neurotoxins and there's hemotoxins. And neurotoxins attack the victim's central nervous system, and it usually results in a heart failure or failure, a collapsing of the lungs or the function of the lungs, where it causes breathing difficulties. And hemotoxin, it attacks the circulatory system. And if you've seen any pictures of someone that's been bitten by certain types of vipers, that it attacks the blood system. The blood actually coagulates and becomes like a jelly. inside of the veins. Thus, the heart goes into a complete failure because it can't pump the blood. And some snakes have both types of venom. Now, when I look at our opponent, I look at our foe, who that we are facing in our spiritual battles, our enemy, Satan, has some very extremely toxic venom that he seeks to inject into the saints of God. Some of these venoms attack the nervous system. It attacks our heart. And we get things in our hearts that we shouldn't have in our hearts. And some attack the mind or the brain, and it causes the body to become paralyzed. And we allow the enemy into our lives, and we allow him into our thought patterns, and he gets into our heart. He becomes part of us. He infects us with all of these toxins. And then we come to church, and because we have aught against a brother or we're frustrated with a sister, we're able to take and we lash out at each other. Now, we know about venom, and we know about how the snake injects the venom into a person. The snake waits for its prey. Sometimes we wait for brothers and sisters. I want to jump on them when we greet the guests. I've had enough of this. I've had even my own self during greeting the guests of people coming up, and they want to take and they want to bite into you and inject venom into you just before you're ready to come up to preach. I've had it happen to where now I not only have to worry about preaching a message, but I have to worry about what was just attempted to be injected into me by somebody that didn't like something that was said. It's amazing how sometimes we can have such love for the world, and we can weep and cry and pray and slobber all over the place for the lost souls of our community, but we don't seem to have the same love sometimes for our brothers or our sisters. I know we were just worshiping a few minutes ago and everything was going great, but when you look at the snake as it waits for its prey, the snake constricts, tightens its muscles around the sac that contains the venom, and when you walk by, they lash out at you and they inject, they bite you and they inject that venom into your body. It starts to make the victim weak, sick, and if it goes untreated many, many times, people can die. There's some toxic venoms in this world. There's some toxic venom that can happen inside of a church. So here we are, we're in the island of Malta. You say, what does this have to do with church? What does this have to do with me? As I said, one minute Paul was a murderer, and the next minute he was a god. You see, we have to understand we can never take stock as to the appeasement of the crowd. It's not about the crowd. We have to seek God. If you're looking for validation in your life, you have to seek your validation from God. It doesn't come from one another. All right? Now, as we look at Paul in this story, we can look at some of the characteristics of a viper. Did you know that vipers are created for one thing, and that is to bite and inject venom? That's what they do. And when we look at vipers, they usually always attack the extremities of a person. And this is where this ties back into what Pastor or Elder Caskey was preaching through the gifts of the Spirit and such. When a viper bites into you, Sister Linda, and you're walking down life's road, very seldom will they bite you in the abdomen. Very seldom will they bite you in the leg. Where they seek most is your extremities, your hands, or your feet. Now think about how this ties in spiritually with Paul and how this ties in spiritually with the church. if we allow the enemy into our lives and we allow him to work through us and we lash out, or the enemy lashes out and he bites us in our hands or in our feet, how does that disable us as a Christian? Think about this. This viper bit into Paul's hand. Okay? Paul had no doubt laid hands on hundreds and thousands of people because God flowed through him, flowed into him and out of him by his hands. The hands are symbolic of working for God. We work for God. We talk about keeping our hands busy in the kingdom of heaven, for the kingdom of the Lord. Our feet carry us in ministry where we need to go, what we need to do. My feet carry me right now. My hands and feet are a vital part of my ministry. And I'm afraid that sometimes we allow offenses to come into our lives. I'm amazed, church. I am totally amazed at how many people allow themselves to become offended by what somebody says or somebody does to them, what a person says or does to them, and they walk away from God because what somebody said. That tells me you have very little value in your relationship with God. I love everybody here. I do. Even the Simpsons. I love everybody here. But there's nothing that you can say or nothing that you can do that's going to take me away from God. I'll help you out on that. Sometimes I just bomb when I preach, and I know it. You don't have to remind me of that. I don't do a very good job. This morning might just be one of those. I'm not reading my notes. We've had a great service. What more can you add to it? So you don't have to remind me and tell me, Pastor, you just really stunk it up tonight. I would agree with you some of those times. So there's nothing that you can really say. There's nothing you can do. Well, I don't agree with what pastor's, the direction he's taken, so I'm just going to go ahead and I'm not going to pay my tithing. Who's going to lose a blessing? I'm not going to lose a blessing over that. It's not going to affect me. I've heard of churches that says, well, we don't like our pastor. We're just going to starve him out. You're not starving the pastor out. You're cutting your own throat. You're starving yourself out. We have to understand, we allow the enemy to enter into our lives, and most of the time, it's through offense. That's why Jesus spoke of so much in the last days about brothers and sisters being offended. You know what's happening? Is we're allowing the offense of the world. Hear me now. You can't talk to anybody anymore without somebody getting offended. We live in a world of perpetual offense. Doesn't matter what I do, what I say, what I like, what I dislike. If I voice my opinion, I'm going to offend somebody and crush somebody's feelings. How dare he say he not like my style of this or that? Like I've told all of you liver lovers, I don't like liver. You won't cook it any way that I like because I have determined since a small child, I don't like it. And I'm being stubborn about that. I'm not going to eat it. I'm not even going to attempt to eat it. I was forced to eat it. I had to forfeit breakfast or dessert cookies. My favorite cookies was those Vienna vanilla cookies. And I sometimes had to leave them on the table because I wouldn't eat my liver. I didn't care. You could put a death by chocolate cake on the table and say, you can have this if you eat this liver, and I will not, I will say, I will pass on the cake, thank you. But you see, some people would get offended. Oh, he doesn't like, he hasn't tasted my cooking. I don't care. Don't get offended. It's a mindset. But we get offended by all kinds of things. He didn't sit by me tonight. I wonder why. I noticed so-and-so, Brother Eric, he was down here walking across the altar during service, and he never stopped one time and shook my hand. Huh. Wonder what I did to him. We laugh about this, and it is somewhat comical, but we do this. If we didn't have a problem with it, God wouldn't have spoke to us about it Wednesday night and Friday night. In case you're wondering, that's one service and then the very next service. So we got to get over some of these things. Because you know what that does? That restricts our ability to use our hands and our feet in ministry and where God is calling us to be. Now, I know we've had a lot of prayer time already. And I know that God has really moved a lot in many, many ways. But you see, your hands are your worship to God. And if the enemy can take and inject and restrict the use of our worship, you know why some of you can't worship to a point of a breakthrough? Because your hands are full of venom. And the problem is you've been accustomed to taking antibodies and different types of antivenoms that are offered by the enemy, and you become immune to the venom of the viper that injects that into you. You know, that's how people survive this. Guys that work, and I read stories, and I've got examples of men that have been bitten by venomous snakes, that one drop of venom is enough to kill thousands of people, and yet they've been injected with it and not died because their system is immune to the venom, because they've been taking small amounts of the venom over a period of time, and we've allowed the enemy to inject into our hands and our feet. So now everywhere we go, we pollute. Did you get that? We pollute the ministry that we're involved in because we take that venom with us, because we won't let it out of us. We become accustomed to it. So where do we go from here? Well, it starts with repentance. Have we forgotten how to repent, church? Have we? Do you have aught against a brother or a sister? Maybe not here today, but maybe you got a brother or sister. Maybe you just don't like the whole church. I know people that have been that way. Yeah, I just don't like. I had someone come up to me not too long ago and say, Pastor, I just want to let you know why I haven't been coming here for a while. I said, okay. I really like you as a pastor. I really like your wife, but I'm not so sure about the rest. I'm not for sure if I get along with. I'm like, well, you're probably doing a good thing. You know, don't come here just for me. You know, if you don't like everybody else, that's kind of a tough. So maybe you're in that situation this morning. So I look at it this way. If you don't like the church, you don't like the pastor, why are you putting money in the offering to support something you don't like? Now, I'm just going to be really blunt. You see Brother Ward Meyer back there in the back? Anybody see him back there? He's the usher, and he could make sure that if you don't like the place and you don't want to ever like it and you want to keep spreading your venom and you're not willing to get rid of it or change, then we can lead you out to where your car is. You ever heard a pastor ever say that? I'm just to the point to where, listen, if you don't like it, then just go. Go ahead. Take your venom elsewhere. Because you're not going to like it when thousands of people start coming through these doors. Say, well, it's awful cocky, you up there with a microphone. I can come down there without a microphone and say it if you'd like me to. It just makes common sense. If you don't want to, you know, what does Jesus say? How will you know my disciples? If you're out and about, how will you know my disciples? You'll know them because they have a fish sticker on their chrome bumper of their truck. That's how you're going to know. You will know them if they got a honk, if you love Jesus bumper sticker on their car. I got the Hawaiian peace sign not too long ago by a fish sticker on a bumper that says honk if you love Jesus. And I thought, I hope that bumper sticker was on the car before they bought it. Some of you wonder what the Hawaiian peace sign is, don't you? Just look it up online. Just Google it. They'll tell you. Yeah, maybe you better not. Good point, Brother Brocker. No. You will know my disciples by their love one for another. So I want us to stand this morning, and we can have our musicians come back. I will apologize, I guess, to our life classes. I hope that I didn't mess your schedule up too much, brother. I wanted you to get a good class in, but so how are we going to end this morning? Well, you know, worship is awesome. But worship is even awesomer with a clean heart and a pure heart. And knowing that I can hold hands with my brother or my sister, and I can lift their hand up, and I begin to worship and pray because I love my brother Daniel Capaccio. I love Sister Audrey Hawk. Don't get offended, Linda, because I didn't come. See? I love Brother Randy. But see, that's where it starts, right? How come he went that way? I love my brothers and my sisters. I'd do anything for them. My brother Eric, I got to stop somewhere. We're going to just stop to Terry. Sister Seidel, I'm sorry. We'll go out for lunch or something. Let's just begin to worship the Lord. You know, if there's something that's in you that you know needs to come out. If you got a problem with a brother, you got a problem with a sister, take care of it. We're gonna go into more detail. I'll take another stab at this at another time, but don't let that, because it hinders everything. If you got aught against a brother or sister and you refuse to forgive them for something they did, then no matter what you try to do for forgiveness, the Lord says, you know what, if you won't forgive Sister Linda, then I'm not going to forgive you. That's how this works. You want to free yourself up from all of that condemnation, all of that frustration, coming into church and you have to walk certain places and you can't go certain places because you're going to run into so-and-so. Get rid of it. You know why? Because we're holding up somebody's miracle. We're holding up somebody's miracle, Brother John. Because God says, I desire to do miracles, signs, and wonders, but you got to take care of a few things. I can't move in a place that doesn't have unity. It's not going to flow. My spirit has to flow in perfect unity. So we're just going to close this service out this morning. Grab a brother, grab a sister. Come on down to the front. Say, you know what, brother, I love you. I may not always think the same way you think. My breath may smell sometimes and sometimes other parts of me. But you know what? I love you and I want to go worship with you.